This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, November 30th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, is stepping down from the company he co-founded. This isn't the first time Dorsey has left Twitter. The eccentric tech boss has gone and returned once before, and he's been accused all throughout of absenteeism and of letting Twitter fall behind the competition. On today's show, our Heard on the Street columnist Laura Forman joins us to discuss what's behind Dorsey's departure and what it could mean for Twitter's future. That's after these headlines. SEC filings show the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, sold around half of his shares in the company last week. The sale was worth more than $285 million, making it Nadella's single largest stock sale, according to Insider Score. Analysts say the move could be related to Washington State putting in place a 7% tax on long-term capital gains starting next year. Nissan says it'll invest more than $17.5 billion in electric vehicles over the next 5 years. That would be twice what the company spent on EVs during the past decade plus. The carmaker says it'll be rolling out 20 new models, and 9 of them will be powered completely by batteries. The others will be gas and electric hybrids. Nissan was once a leader in the EV market. It introduced the Leaf EVs more than a decade ago, but it's fallen behind the competition since then as demand for electric vehicles has grown. And a federal official ruled that Amazon violated labor law in its campaign against the unionization efforts at its warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, earlier this year. The results of the vote have been tossed out, according to the National Labor Relations Board. That means a new election will be held, but the date for a new vote hasn't yet been set. An Amazon spokeswoman said it was disappointing that the NLRB decided the earlier vote shouldn't count. Amazon's been adding workers at a breakneck pace since the start of the pandemic, and it's nearly doubled its fulfillment network, blanketing the country with more than 450 new facilities to store, organize, and ship items, according to the logistics consultant MWPVL International. Our tech reporter, Sebastian Herrera, says the move signals that Amazon is doubling down on its efforts to deliver items in one day or less, and increasingly without relying on third-party shippers.
This is really especially important during the holiday season because back in 2013, they had a really bad holiday season, basically because they at that point relied a lot on UPS. There was a lot of delays, and that was a big kind of lesson for them. And since that day, they've basically been trying and successfully doing so of slowly building out their warehousing operations more and more and more to where they have basically built, if not going to surpass very soon, what UPS and FedEx does in terms of how many packages they handle.
All right, coming up, it took more than 280 characters for Jack Dorsey to say he's leaving Twitter. What does the CEO's departure mean for the company? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey wanted his company to be one of the most transparent. So perhaps it's no surprise when he decided to step down, he tweeted a picture of his resignation letter. Dorsey is one of the most prominent figures in Silicon Valley. Aside from Twitter, he's also the founder of the payment company Square. And his departure comes as Twitter struggles to keep up with rivals and the social media industry faces greater scrutiny from lawmakers. Joining us to discuss what all of this means for Twitter and the legacy Dorsey leaves behind is our Heard on the Street columnist, Laura Forman. Laura, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Do we know why Dorsey is leaving now?
So that's a question of how credible his resignation letter is. He fittingly posted it to Twitter today, basically saying that he has decided himself to step down, citing limitations of founder-led companies and tech specifically, talking about how, you know, it's a fatal flaw for some companies to keep their founders on too long. And you can see some classic examples in tech today with founders leaving and what that's done for them. For Dorsey, though, what's like glaringly missing from the resignation letter, I guess I should say conveniently missing, is any talk of the fact that he has two activist investors who have been riding him for the last 18 plus months to leave the company, basically upset that he's been splitting his time between Twitter and Square, another company which he co-founded, where he's also the CEO. He also talked last year about spending perhaps half the year of last year in Africa, which upset them, just basically that he's, you know, doesn't have his thumb on the pulse there. If you think about Twitter and how it compares to social media companies, whereas Square has done really well against its competitors, its stock tripled last year, more than tripled. Twitter is seeing declining growth in its user base, and it's just woefully behind in terms of technological developments for its ad platform.
So Dorsey's known for his kind of hands-off style. Do we know practically how that affected the company, or if it just upset investors and maybe some on the board?
Well, he's talked a lot about how he wants to be slow with regard to innovation, and that's something that the activist investors, Elliott Management especially, has been frustrated by. It's anyone's guess. Now they're putting the chief technology officer in charge. He's going to become the new CEO. Whether that is really going to reinvigorate Twitter's growth or whether Twitter is just a somewhat niche platform that's, you know, about text-based conversation, that doesn't necessarily resonate with as many people as, you know, an image sharing platform like Instagram or a video sharing platform like TikTok. So I guess it just remains to be seen.
Dorsey's left the company once before. He was actually fired in 2008. Can you take us back to what happened then and how he came back?
Sure. So I think a lot of the issues were the same. There was talk about how, you know, some of his employees were frustrated with his style and just talk of his own lifestyle and his idiosyncrasies, shall we say, that kind of rubbed people the wrong way and felt like he wasn't taking the job as seriously as he could. So certainly you see similarities today. I mean, this is a guy who like talks about taking ice baths and only eating one meal a day. And like I said, traveling to Africa, although he says that that has to do with business. It doesn't play well when the stock isn't performing.
Social media has been in the spotlight recently for its effect on users and for spreading misinformation. We've heard a lot about that in regards to Twitter's competitors, but how has the company handled this under Dorsey?
I don't think the misinformation is Twitter's biggest problem. You know, Twitter is a platform that banned Trump well before Facebook took any action. Dorsey has talked about how, you know, he wants Twitter to be the most transparent platform out there. I think that it is very transparent, perhaps too transparent. He's like constantly tweeting about the ins and outs of his business. And again, like he put his resignation on Twitter. So like I said, I don't think that's its biggest problem. I think it's just behind the curve in terms of advertising. At the end of the day, Twitter is a social media company that makes money via advertising.
Let's talk about his replacement, the CTO Parag Agarwal. What do we know about him?
Twitter essentially made him. He's been there for over 10 years for most of his career. Dorsey alluded to this also in his resignation letter about how, you know, it really made him and fostered his growth. I mean, just by nature of the fact that he's an engineer, it signals what Twitter is going to be focused on going forward. And it's, again, it's a lot of the things that the activist investors have really called for.
So then I guess, big picture, where does that leave Twitter? Should we expect that Twitter users are going to see big changes with Dorsey leaving?
Well, Dorsey has already been signaling big goals for the company. He talked in February at the Investor Day about how he wanted to double revenue by 2023, get to 315 million monetizable daily active users by 2023, and start launching a lot more products more quickly. So I don't think anything's necessarily going to change in terms of the game plan. Perhaps just, you know, some of these activist investors and maybe even Dorsey himself just felt like that was at odds with where he wanted to take the company.
In his resignation letter, Jack Dorsey mentioned the kind of limitations of founder-led companies. What is he trying to spare Twitter from? And are there examples of this happening?
I think founders have a vision that isn't necessarily what's going to make the company generate the most sales or grow as quickly as it can. And they become so committed to it that, and he alludes to this also in his letter, it's a sense of pride because it's their baby and they don't want to leave. I mean, you can look at a company like Meta with Mark Zuckerberg, right? Who's trying to reinvent the company now with the metaverse. but he's refusing to leave. So the big investor question there is, how can a one person reinvent a company and have it change while his face is still plastered on everything there is to grow? So I think, you know, Dorsey wants to avoid that.
So how have companies coped when they've lost their founders?
So it's a great question. It's really been hit or miss lately. We've seen a lot of it in tech. You know, obviously the biggest change was Bezos at Amazon lately. Amazon stock is up more than 10% over the last 6 months. So that's been seen favorably. And then you've got Grubhub, food delivery platform, where founder Matt Maloney just announced he was leaving. And that company's really been struggling thus far under Just Eat Takeaway's new management. It's early, but they really haven't done anything successful or new with it yet. And then at Instacart, you've got Meta, Facebook star Fiji Simo there. They've seen growth slowing, and she's going to come in with the goal of revitalizing it with advertising and more tech. And then you have examples of where founders are still in place, and honestly, even those are up and down.
All right, that was our Heard on the Street columnist, Laura Foreman. Thanks for joining us, Laura.
Thanks so much.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.